Greg Elliott is running for the Greens in the Hills Fleurieu seat of Mayo. The long-time Hawthorn Dean resident is a community theatre director, reviewer and school and uni performing arts educator. He's a supporter of social justice, multiculturalism and environmentalism. And he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. This is your first bid for politics. What's inspired you to run this year?
It is, and I have to admit that I've always been interested in politics and the Greens movement ever since Bob Brown was arrived and talking about the environment. I was always thinking he's standing up for those principles. That's a good thing. So I've sort of been on the sidelines and maybe helping out how to vote cards and things. But when Tony Abbott became Prime Minister, I felt that things have just got too stupid. And no longer is it enough to stand back and just vote or talk to friends about things. I felt that I needed to actually be more active. And living in the Mayo area, I contacted the Mayo Greens and said, well, look, you know, can I help out? I just joined, actually. I just paid my membership and had a phone call from a lovely lady, Danella Peters, who was the Mayo secretary, who said, would you like to come and join in on some Zoom meetings, or how would you like to be involved, etc.? So I did that, and once I was doing that, I was away and talking about all kinds of issues, and eventually people on the committee said, would you actually like to stand for the seat of Mayo, which I was happy to do, not really knowing what I was getting myself in for, but thinking that, well, if the Greens in Mayo actually require someone and they've said, look, we think you'd be good, then I was happy to go along with it. So this is where I find myself at the moment, promoting the Greens cause rather than just being a Green following activities.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a community theatre director and you work with kids and uni students with performing arts. Tell us about that and how it might even lend itself to politics.
Yes, I have been a secondary drama teacher, and then I've worked with students at Flinders University who are, well, used to be called student teachers, but now, and they would be heading into a drama field. So I'd work with them about the realities of classroom life and working with teenagers. Most recently, Jenny, I've been working with Indigenous students at Flinders Uni in their ITAS program, which I think is a fantastic thing because it's all well and good to get Indigenous students into university, but if you don't give them the skills to succeed, then there is no point. If they just get in and fail, but they have a mentoring system where people like me can actually assist them with knowledge that they haven't had, because all of the Indigenous students I've worked with have come from a disadvantaged background. I'm there to help them with maybe knowledge of history, or if they're doing politics and they don't know much about the political scene, I fill in the gaps about who Gough Whitlam was and what happened in the 70s and 80s, etc. Or if they're doing history and don't know about the Vietnam War or World War One or World War Two. So that's been incredibly rewarding to see some of my students become either teachers or social workers or working in the media and ending up on NITV. And now, how does that equip me? Look, I've, as a teacher, as someone interested in the arts, you kind of always have your eye on what's going on in the world of politics. It's not just aesthetics, it is about the content. So I've always chosen plays that I thought would be stimulating for kids in terms of the issues they deal with or the moral dilemmas, etc. And the same with community theatre, choosing plays that are of value and have people thinking about the world around them and how they feel on certain issues. So it fits in neatly for me.
Now, the Climate Council's released an interactive map this week showing the areas at serious risk of extreme weather, many hills homes to potentially become uninsurable in the coming decades. Is this a big area of concern for you, and what would you like to achieve for the Mayo electorate on the issue?
Look, it is a major concern for me, and it should be for everyone in Mayo and everyone around Australia and globally. You know, I've watched the floods in the eastern states, and you think, well, I'm up high in the hills here, so kind of that's good. But in the black summer, we had devastating fires in Cuddly Creek and across Kangaroo Island. I think that's given us a taste of what may come with the planet warming and the Earth actually drying out. Hawthornden is beautiful, like loads of areas throughout Mayo. We're very lucky. It's very green. It's very tourist-rich kind of towns throughout Mayo. But when I come up from the plane and go past the Blair National Park and I look over Hawthornden, it is a sea of eucalypts, and they rise above the houses. And I've certainly thought that if we copped a 100-degree day, 30, 40 degree in Celsius, with 120-kilometre winds like they did in Victoria some years ago, that would just sweep through the canopy, through the national park, through Hawthornden. And though it's leafy green, beautiful shade in summer, it's enormous danger to us all with where we're heading. And I'm interested that you mentioned about insurability, because my wife picked up the that map and said, hang on, look at us in Hawthornden. They are saying in 8 years, we will be uninsurable. So the thought of being in either a flood area or a fire area and to not be able to have your house insured, well, a lot of people are experiencing that on the eastern states at the moment. And in the black fires, some people experience that and others are only just getting their lives back together. So it would be horrific. So we have to be conscious of it. We've had 4 decades of conservatives saying, oh, it's absolute crap, memorably Tony Abbott. But others since, Scott Morrison has just been kind of doing nothing about it, saying we're achieving things, but they're not really. If we are achieving anything in terms of lowering emissions, it's people like us and many Australian citizens who are putting solar panels on their house and moving to electric cars, etc. So, yes, I am concerned, Jenny, and we need to think about what's happening in the future and prepare for it.
With us at the moment is Greg Elliott. He's running for the Greens in the seat of Mayo. The cost of living is another major concern for many. How would the Greens help our local communities in this regard?
Well, I believe that we have really become the party of social justice. I think Labor has somewhat dropped the ball. And when they just fall in with the Libs and saying they're going to grant the Stage 3 tax cut, so people over $200,000 get something like $9,000 a year in tax cuts. It just seems to me the wrong time. It's ethically, it's wrong. We've had a staggered tax system. The more you earn, you pay on a slightly higher rate. That's because you need to give back to society. And I think we've lost this notion of needing to put in and give back. Ever since Kerry Packer was saying you pay more than a dollar in tax, you're a mug, people have got the sense now they've got a right to keep every dollar and to give nothing in terms of the community. I prefer a Scandinavian model, and the Greens get attacked for like being socialist or communist or whatever. But, you know, we're still capitalist at heart. We believe in business, and many of our members are either farmers or working in small business, doctors, chemists, teachers, you name it. And we're all working towards our own houses and all those kinds of things. But now we've seen that it's harder for young people, especially on JobSeeker. You just can't achieve anything. We're suggesting we raise it up to something like $88 a day, and from $46 a day. Scott Morrison thought it was $46 a week. I don't know how you could survive on $46 a week at all, but on $46 a day is hard enough. So we would certainly increase the job seeker allowance. And we've put money into public housing. I was at a candidates forum just the other week at Aldinga, and a lady raised something that I've been thinking about. We are a much more affluent society now than I was a boy. And yet there doesn't seem to be the money required for social projects. So when I was brought up in Blair Athol, not Mayo, I moved to the hills because I thought it'd be a beautiful lifestyle, and it is. But down in Blair Athol, there were lots of social housing houses, basically, and whether they were in rows on Churchill Road or whether they were integrated amongst the community in Clearview and other places. Some people were renting, some people were owning, and some people had a public house that they lived in. And we seem to have lost that. We've seen all the housing now is about someone building a huge mansion or having a holiday house that's a mansion, instead of ensuring that people can be housed. And with domestic violence and women needing shelter, we need to have adequate housing and safe housing for those people. So from a social justice point of view, we've certainly been looking to do whatever we can to help those who are genuinely disadvantaged.
I really appreciate your time today, Greg. Thanks for joining me.
Jenny, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.